come with me if you want to live.
What's up, Road Warriors? Welcome back to another episode of a podcast on Fury Road. We are your hosts, Mark
and Brooke.
And this week we are talking about my pick of May. We're coming in at the last couple of days of the month for this one. But I chose Batman from 1989.
Nice. Yep.
The OG for me, anyways. Like, this was the movie that kind of sparked my love for Batman.
Okay.
I mean, came out the year I was born, so I grew up watching it often.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. When were you introduced to this movie?
I don't know. I think I watched Batman Returns first.
Okay.
I think I had that on VHS. So I think I watched Batman Returns before this movie, so I like Batman Returns a lot more. I don't know the first time I watched this, honestly.
Okay.
That's too sure.
I will agree with you. I think Batman Returns is better than this one.
Yeah.
It's more Burton-esque, I find. But this one still does hold a very big place in my heart.
Yeah.
But anyways, before we talk about it too much, let's kick off our box office news and booze. And what are you drinking tonight?
I'm drinking Corona.
Corona.
How about you?
Sarah bought these last week, called Simply Spiked Peach.
Okay.
Never had them before, so I'm going to try one. I like peach, so why not? It's definitely peachy. There's like three flavors though, so
okay.
See how the other ones are. But it's pretty good. It's not bad.
Nice.
I would drink them again. All right. What have you watched this past week since we last talked?
Lots of things.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Nice. You make up for mine then.
Okay, so I watched The Ugly Stepsister.
Yep.
I'm in the minority with this one because I did not really enjoy it that much. But everyone seems to love it. Not really a body horror guy. Yeah, I don't know. It's all right. Watched Mickey 17.
Nice.
It's on Crave now. Picked up the book also. That same day, actually.
I almost picked it up yesterday.
Oh,
I
did
was
you?
like, I'll just borrow yours.
Yeah, that's fair. I liked it. I enjoyed it. It was fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went on date night with the wife, and we went and watched Friendship with Paul Rudd and Robinson. Is his first name?
Yep. Tim.
Tim Robinson. Yeah.
Yeah.
We liked it. It was good. Good vibes, theater, lots of laughs. So,
Nice.
yeah, definitely recommend checking it out.
That's good.
To continue with my IMDb list, watched a movie called Ikaru or Ikaru. It's all right. It's pretty good. Basically, old man learns that he has cancer, is going to die. So he kind of is living his final days.
Sounds sad.
It is, but not really. I don't know. Yeah.
Okay.
Then watched Snatch. Haven't seen that in a couple of years. It's good. I like it. Like Brad Pitt's character in it. Then we watched Gone Girl. First time watch for me.
Oh yeah.
It is, yeah.
Shit.
I fucking loved it. That movie was so good. Holy shit.
It's awesome.
Really good. Then I threw on The Zone of Interest. Came out last year, won a couple of awards at the Oscars. Really, really good war movie. Basically a family has a house that right beside one of the most famous I'm at a loss for words right now.
Auschwitz?
Yes, Auschwitz.
Okay.
That's it.
The fuck is Schwitz, baby?
No, they have their house is right beside Auschwitz. It's like one of the generals that lives there with his family and stuff.
Okay.
Really good, really powerful. The end of the movie is really fucking good, and been thinking about it ever since I watched it. It's on Prime. Definitely recommend it.
Okay.
And I've watched this movie.
The fuck is that?
I don't know why I watched it. It's on the IMDb list, and
Really?
yes, I found it on YouTube. And from what I read, this movie kind of cheated its way onto the IMDb list because it only has like 26,000 ratings on IMDb.
Okay.
And from what I read, this is like the most well-known Turkey film ever made.
Okay.
So you'll really only get the humor and the vibe of the movie if you're from Turkey and that kind of era.
Well, that's annoying.
It's only an hour and a half. There's a couple of funny parts, but not, yeah, I didn't really enjoy it that much.
Say the name of it.
The Chaos Class failed the class. And this is like an ongoing like series slash movie that's still going today.
Really? Wow.
And then watch Scarface. Just so fucking good. Like, oh man.
Yeah, it's
Might be
amazing.
my favorite Pacino performance, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't seen all of his stuff, but
It's up there for sure.
and like that score, holy shit, is so
Yeah.
good.
I have the 4K, but I haven't watched it yet. Did you watch it on 4K?
No, I watched it on I think it's on Paramount Plus, I think. Yeah, I don't have the 4K, I just have the Blu-ray, I think.
Yeah. I think like I got it on Black Friday or something like that. It was on sale for like
Yeah, okay.
$10.
Yeah,
Couldn't pass it up.
but yeah, that's it.
All right. Quite a solid list.
Yeah,
A
not bad.
lot of 4 and 5 star movies. I watched one movie.
Okay.
And it was Fear Street Prom Queen. And I did not like it.
Okay, fair enough.
Terrible follow-up to the trilogy.
What did you rate it?
1 star.
Oh, wow, okay. That bad.
Yeah. I was thoroughly disappointed with it. I don't know if it's because I was hyped for it, because like I love the Fear Street trilogy, but yeah, it didn't do it for me, man. It was like a shitty Carrie remake almost, but like with a slasher instead of a psychological horror kind of thing. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, watch it if you want. Maybe you'll enjoy it
Probably
more than I
will.
did,
Yeah.
but yeah.
Nice.
Other than that, I haven't watched anything. Been busy.
Yeah.
Stupid having to adult. Anyways, let's move on over to the box office.
Do it.
Oh, okay, in fifth place, we have Sinners still kicking it in the top five. That one brought in 8.6 million. Thunderbolts in fourth place with 9.6. Final Destination Bloodlines is in third. It brought in 19.3.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Second place, we have Mission Impossible: The Final Reckoning. It brought in 64 million in its opening weekend.
Bad.
And crushing its opening weekend, we have Lilo and Stitch
Yep.
with 146 million.
Jesus.
I read that this movie has already surpassed the total box office of the animated version
Oh, really?
in its opening weekend.
Jesus Christ.
Fucking wild if that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, Friendship was in seventh, which you just went and watched. And further down, Clan in a Cornfield, Until Dawn. So they're still kicking. I really want to watch both of them. Apparently, they're both really good.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Like Until Dawn, people are really enjoying it, and I'm shocked at that. It's a flop. Both of them are flops for sure. But like Until Dawn is sitting at 20 million total, and Clan in the Cornfield is 7 million.
Damn.
But I feel like Clan in the Cornfield's definitely going to get like cult classic status.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
I have a strong feeling that that's what's going to happen with that one. Yeah. What movie are you most excited for that's coming in the second half of the year? I know it's kind of a loaded question, but.
I mean, Ballerina, maybe.
Okay.
Oh, they showed the trailer for the Phoenician
Oh, yeah.
whatever.
Scheme, the Phoenician Scheme.
Yeah. Like I sent you a link. The Criterion's releasing a Wes Anderson box set.
Yeah.
And I'm like hot and cold with him. Like I've only seen a few of his movies, but we both weren't really fans of the one that came out last year or last, actually his past two. I haven't really liked French Dispatch. I didn't really like, and then
Asteroid City.
Asteroid City, and this one has the exact same vibe as Asteroid City.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah, the cast is absolutely unreal, but.
Who was it? It was Benicio del Toro and
I
who's the
mean,
girl?
I didn't recognize her name. She looked like Scarlett Johansson, but it wasn't definitely wasn't her.
Okay. And then yeah, obviously you have it's a Wes Anderson movie, so
I mean, I'm excited for Superman and the new Avengers, a Fantastic Four.
oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and Jurassic World, I think, looks pretty good.
Okay.
It's a couple other ones. Oh, 28 years later, that's definitely way up there.
Nice.
Yeah. What would you?
I think I'll agree with Ballerina. I think it looks really good. Looking at a list here now. Yeah, Jurassic World looks pretty cool. I don't know about Superman. I'm kind of iffy on that.
Oh, that's Bring Her Back.
Oh yeah, that one, 28 years later.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll both be good. Even fucking How to Train Your Dragon.
I was just thinking that,
I
yeah.
think that might be really good.
F1 movie
Yeah, I saw
with
that
Brad
too.
Pitt.
What else do we got?
What's
Tron
your thoughts?
Ares.
What's your thoughts on I know you did last summer?
I want to watch it. I don't like, judging by the trailers, I don't like how they brought Sarah Michelle Gellar and Freddie Prinze Jr. into it. Or sorry, not Sarah Michelle Gellar. The other one.
Jennifer
Jennifer
Love
Love
Hewitt.
Hewitt. Yeah. I don't know, like it just seemed like they threw them in just to have them in. But I don't know. I'll watch it. Ooh. We get Mortal Kombat 2 this year.
Oh yeah.
The Black Phone 2.
That new Paul Thomas Anderson movie with
Yeah.
Leo.
Yeah. The Running Man, Predator Badlands. Fuck, man. Sisu sequel.
Black Phone 2.
Yeah, I said
Sorry,
that.
I'm looking at
Avatar Fire and Ash, man. Second half of this year is going to be good. Shit. Thanksgiving too? Like what? Interesting. Yeah, I'm kind of hyped for the second half of this year. Even though I won't see any of them in theaters, probably.
I know, yeah.
Ballerina, maybe. We tend to do the John Wick movies in theaters.
Yeah, it's true.
Right, let's fucking dive into this movie discussion. Or actually, what do we got for 4Ks? Do you have
No, it's
anything?
we'll get to the movie. That's
All
all good.
right. We spent a
Yeah,
lot more time on that than we
we
had to.
did.
All right. Maybe I'll cut some of it. We'll see. Anyways, like we said in the intro this week, we are talking about Batman from 1989. Starting off with the synopsis, the Dark Knight of Gotham City begins his war on crime with his first major enemy being Jack Napier, A criminal who becomes the clownishly homicidal Joker.
Yes, sir.
This movie was directed by the one and only Tim Burton. It stars Michael Keaton as Bruce Wayne and Batman. Jack Nicholson plays Jack and Joker. Kim Basinger plays Vicky Vale. And Robert Wool? Wool? Wall? I don't know. Plays Alex Knox. Have two honorable mentions. There's a few more, but I only put two.
All right.
Can we do them?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. I have Billy Dee Williams, who plays Harvey Dent. He was also Lando Calrissian in Star Wars. And then I have Michael Goff, who played Alfred. So he played Alfred in the first four Batman movies. Which,
Underrated, man. No one really gives him any love.
man, we talked about this today at work because I was asking my buddy Skyler, who suggested Jupiter Ascending. I said to him, I'm like, what did I bring up? Oh, I asked him what he would rate this movie. And then we got talking about the Alfreds. And man, I think I like him more than I like Michael Caine as Alfred. Not overall, obviously. But he's just the perfect Alfred.
Yeah, he is.
He fits the profile from the cartoon and the comics like perfectly.
He does. He really does.
And I really like, because in the span of the four movies that he played Alfred, we had three different directors, right? Because it was Schumacher that did Forever. And then who did Batman and Robin? It wasn't Schumacher for that too, was it?
Was, I'm pretty sure.
Was it? Okay, so maybe we only had two then.
Joel Schumacher.
Yeah, it was him. Okay. Anyways, regardless, I like that Schumacher kept him on. It was kind of neat. But did you have any
No, not
honorable
really. I
mentions?
mean,
No.
Jack Palance is a name, but
Yeah. Sorry,
that's
it
pretty
is a
much
name.
it. The,
Right. Let's dive into this movie then.
it. So the movie opens up with we're in Gotham, and we're at the Monarch Theater, and right off the bat, you think you're getting the Bruce Wayne backstory, which, not gonna lie, I'm getting kind of sick of it, of like seeing like every almost every movie, the Batman movie, it has fucking the backstory, except for like, well, Pattinson's Batman, they don't do it, but
They
I don't
kind of
know.
did, but they changed it.
But it is actually present day, and Batman is up in the shadows watching all this happen. And I love this little scene with Batman because we get introduction and the two robbers are there, they're talking back and forth, and one guy's like, "Come on, let's get out of here. Like, let's go. I'm scared, man." And he's like, "What are you scared of?" "The bat." And then it's like, ah, cause no such thing as a bat.
Yeah,
And man, this 4K looks so fucking good. Like,
they
some of the
did.
shots, like this shot is so cool because they're like in the dark, and then the background you see like a light on a building, and like some like kind of like smoky fog stuff. And you just see the Batman come down, like glides down, just like silent, and oh man, so
Yeah, it was
sick.
good. It was really good.
And he beats him up. What's your thoughts on Keaton as Bruce Wayne slash Batman? Because you know it's going to come up at one point.
Remember whenever I picked this movie, I said there's some things that I wanted to ask you. This was one of them. Kind of. So I'll answer your question with the answer to the question that I wanted to ask you. Keaton is my favorite all around Batman and Bruce Wayne. George Clooney is my favorite Bruce Wayne.
Really?
And then Bale, I think, is my favorite Batman. Because Pattinson, man, I fucking loved his Batman. But I feel like we haven't seen enough yet for me to make a judgment, so I'm
Yeah.
gonna stick with Christian Bale.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was my question to you, is like, who's your favorite Bruce? Who's your favorite Batman? Who's your favorite all around? Because it's like
Yeah.
it's the same with the Spider-Mans too, right? Like
Yeah. I and kind of the same with you. I think I don't think there has been any bad Batmans. Like Batman slash Bruce Wayne's.
okay.
Like the Clooney one and
Val Kilmer.
Val Kilmer. Not entirely their fault. The fucking writing in those movies is so bad. So like
That's
they're
fair.
doing what they can. But Pattinson, I think after Batman, the Batman 2, I think he'll be my favorite. Batman and Bruce Wayne, just because the Bruce Wayne that the director is doing is so different than all the other Bruce Waynes. Kind of get that day one Bruce Wayne Batman where he's still learning, he's very young.
Much darker.
I think for me, Christian Bale is probably my favorite Bruce Wayne. And my favorite Batman, I gotta say, is Affleck.
Okay, I was gonna ask you how you think of like what you think of him.
Yeah.
That's fair. I think his Batman was good.
Yeah, I like kind of a darker, like, I don't give a fuck. I'm gonna beat the living shit out of you until you
Yeah.
die. Like,
And like he was like a beefy Batman.
yeah,
Like his
exactly.
Batman was fucking huge, man,
It
in
was. It
comparison
was.
to some of them.
And obviously, like, to get the real Ben Affleck Batman Bruce Wayne, they had to release a fucking 4-hour movie, right? So, like, that whole thing sucks. Would have liked to see them do it properly. But anyway, yeah, Keaton, I don't mind. He has, like, I don't think his Batman is that great, to be honest. Yeah.
It might be nostalgia for me.
Yeah.
It might be. 'Cause like I was watching it this time and I watched it on 4K, and that might be a detriment to it. 'Cause like I noticed some things. I was just like, I don't know if I like that.
Yeah.
'Cause before, like you're watching it on like DVD and like fuck, way back when I was watching on
Yeah.
VHS. So like it's a little bit more grainy. The quality's not quite there.
Yeah.
So you miss a lot of shit.
Yeah.
Like it kind of hides some of it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Yeah. I think with Keaton, like I can respect him for taking this role too, because he was never an action guy.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a very different role for him, which I mean, I can commend him for.
Yeah, exactly. So meanwhile, we are meeting Commissioner Gordon and Harvey Dent. Harvey has been being run in for the new district attorney. We meet Vicki Vale, who is a famous photographer who has done photography for a bunch of magazines like Vogue and all these other like war magazines and stuff. And she works with Alex Knox, who is a very annoying character. Yeah, and go ahead.
I would have liked to have seen Bill Paxton play this character.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
I think he would have been good.
Yeah, that's, I like that. And we get the introduction of Jack Napier, who is a kind of gangster criminal guy who works for a very rich businessman. And they are about to do a job at a factory where they're gonna basically steal a bunch of money and stuff out of the safe. And you find out that this boss sets up Jack because he wants to kill him. Now, what's the reasoning for that? Because I think I missed that.
I don't know.
Okay. All right.
I think he's, 'cause Jack's kind of trying to get in on his territory, right? 'Cause Carl's getting
Right.
old.
I think
And
he
like,
steals his girlfriend too, doesn't he?
yeah, like they have like this weird kind of side relationship with Alicia was her name.
Yeah.
And as soon, like, spoiler alert, but as soon as Carl dies, Jack and Alicia are together. So I think Jack or Carl wants him dead just because he's kind of, I don't know, treading on his territory.
Yeah, exactly. So Jack is going to this factory with a bunch of his goons. Meanwhile, the boss is calls the cops and says, "Oh, there's this happening at the whatever factory." In the meanwhile, at the same time, there's a casino party that's being thrown at Bruce Wayne's house. They're raising money for something. I love that Bruce has like cameras all in his house, and then he goes off on his own, like not socializing at all. He's like zooms in and listens to their conversation.
It's
It's
so
like,
creepy.
oh, there's a he's got a call. There's robbery going down at Axis Chemicals, and I love like they're like, all right, shoot to kill. It's like, okay, that seems a bit aggressive. People are just fucking robbing a place, like,
Yeah, really.
but Jack and then they get the safe open and it's empty, and they realize that it was a setup. Batman has arrived, and I love this scene because like they're just like shooting all the fucking chemicals or like spewing out, and there's like I'm sure it's not safe to breathe in those chemicals that they're fucking letting out.
Not at all. Not at all.
I mean, we see what happens to Jack's face, right? So,
Yeah, this shit's like nuclear.
Jack ends up getting away up to the very top, and Bruce or Batman, stops him. Jack shoots him, but he puts up his arm and like breaks the bullet apart, I think, and like part of the shrapnel goes into Jack's face, and
It
then he.
sorry, it ricocheted off of a pressure gauge, and the
Oh.
glass from the pressure gauge exploded in his face.
Okay. So he's freaking out and falls over the side into a vat of chemicals. And Batman ends up leaving, and you see like a hand like reach up out of the chemicals.
And you see all of his cards too, like his playing cards kind of float
Yes.
to the top and we have
Yeah.
the Joker card right there.
I will say during this watch, I noticed a lot more like comic booky like references and shots that I think like the 4K does a good job at bringing that out. Like the first time you see Joker walking up out of the elevator and out of the dark, it looks exactly like I don't know what version it is of the movie that came out a few years ago. You know what I'm talking about, like the original.
The animated one?
Yeah.
I do know what you're talking about.
Anyway, but like that look and shot looks exactly like the cover of that movie.
Not the Killing Joke.
Yeah, The
Was
Killing
it the
Joke,
Killing
I
Joke?
think. Yeah. And then also a scene later on, which I didn't even realize was like basically recreated in The Dark Knight.
I caught on to that too in this watch. I was like, oh shit.
Yeah, I was like
That's
shot
fucking
for
cool.
shot. I was like, how did I never notice that before? But what do you think of the whole of how they recreated the Joker beginning of him and all that?
So in this watch, I realized, and this might have been a good thing about the 4K because I've never, ever, ever noticed it before. Whenever he falls into the vat, we get one last shot of his face and where he got caught up from that glass, it was all in his mouth.
Yeah.
Like, so we almost had that Chelsea smile from Heath Ledger.
Yeah.
But so that's why he had all that plastic surgery done on his mouth because his mouth got fucking mangled from all that glass.
Yeah.
This is the first time I ever noticed that because I always
Yeah.
wondered why the fuck he did that with his mouth. I was like,
Yeah.
why? I don't
Yeah.
understand this.
Yeah.
But it makes sense now. I think I really liked it. I want to know what made him go absolutely maniacal and like batshit crazy. Was it the chemicals? Like just like kind of reprogrammed his brain?
I think it's the chemicals because I'm pretty sure that the whole plot of this movie is him putting these chemicals in
Yeah.
the cosmetics and stuff and like the
Yeah, that's
gas.
true.
So
That's true.
I think he's, you know, making everyone like him.
Yeah.
But I like the scene with like kind of like the him in the barber chair, and you don't see him from the front, but he's all bandaged up, and the like surgeon takes the stuff off, and he's like, oh, like all of your I was trying to think of like feelings in your face are like gone, like singed off, right?
Yeah.
And then Jack gets, or Joker just gets up and starts doing that laugh. And I think this movie would have been way different if Jack Nicholson wasn't cast in this movie.
Yeah. So, a question for you.
Yeah.
Jack Nicholson turned down this role originally.
Oh, really?
So they offered it to Robin Williams,
Hmm.
who said he would do it. So then the studio went back to Jack Nicholson and said, Robin Williams has agreed to do it if you don't do it. So then Jack Nicholson was like, fuck that, I'm taking it. So what do you think of the idea of Robin Williams being Joker in this movie?
Where was Robin Williams at this time? Because he would have been just doing what, Mork and Mindy or whatever that.
Good morning, Vietnam.
Oh, yeah, 87. Yeah, you're right. No, Mork and Mindy was like late 70s. Because Doubtfire was 93.
Yeah.
He did Vietnam in 87. That was pretty much his kind of first big role that didn't really do anything really to like Hook in 91.
Damn. When was like Dead Poets Society and did that fall into?
Aladdin in 92, Doubtfire in 93,
But he don't want to run in the 90s.
Jumanji, Birdcage. Yeah, I think it would have been comparable, I think.
I think he would have been a lot less creepy and a lot more funny.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like he'd be more of a mix between Riddler and Joker.
Yeah. That would have been interesting for sure, yeah.
Another crazy thing is Jack Nicholson took a percentage for this movie and he ended up making $60 million for his
It's
role
crazy when
as
you hear about
Joker.
those stories of actors who
Yeah.
take, instead of taking like whatever 10 million up front, so they all take a percentage of that movie.
Take a risk and just go with that.
I was listening to the Rewatchables did a Star Wars movie,
Ben Kenobi.
and yeah, and George Lucas, well, and George Lucas or Spielberg, one of them took a percentage.
Oh, shit.
I think it was Spielberg took a percentage of, no, George Lucas sold Star Wars to someone for like $80 million and then took a percentage of
Royalties.
the royalties.
Jesus.
Yeah.
I know the actor that played Ben Kenobi, he took a 1% or something like that.
Okay. Yeah.
And he ended up making like $100 million,
Yeah.
which
Yeah.
fucking wild.
Yeah.
Not even a primary character.
Yeah. But anyway, so we had Joker ends up killing the boss who set him up, try to get him killed. We see then see Joker at a meeting. Again, kind of reminded me of the Joker meeting that we got in The Dark Knight, right? Joker, Heath Ledger played a magic trick. And that, and then in this movie, we see him go up with a handshake, and this is a shock button, and the guy just gets lit up.
Yeah, it's so good. All the other mob bosses are just like, what the fuck? They're like, you're crazy.
Yeah. The next day, there's a kind of conference at City Hall. Bruce Wayne is there along with Alex and Vicky, and we see these mimes kind of coming up. And then I don't know what the conference was about, but we see Joker pops in and says some line that he said has a ton of those one-liners in this movie. But he has like this giant quill pen thing. And just like throws it in the guy's neck and just fucking dies. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, it's right in the middle of the street. I love
Yeah.
the mime that's just like wandering around.
Yeah. And meanwhile, Joker's kind of right-hand man is like taking pictures of everyone. And then after this, he's like looking at the pictures, and Joker sees a picture of Vicky, and he's just instantly infatuated with her, and he's on a mission. He wants Vicky as a girlfriend, basically. And at this point, I think Vicky and Bruce have a kind of relationship a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
But I didn't feel like they had any chemistry really at all.
No, and I think that's all Michael Keaton. He was weird in this role. Like, I liked him as a socialite and as Bruce Wayne, but as a romantic, I don't think he did a good job.
Yeah, I think he really came into like this role in Batman Returns, I think.
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I can agree with that. Another funny thing. So I think it was, yeah, Warner Brothers. They wanted Michelle Pfeiffer to play Vicki Vale in this movie.
Interesting.
Michael Keaton and Michelle Pfeiffer were dating during the filming of this movie. So he refused to, or he recommended that she didn't, because like he didn't want her to, because it'd just be weird and awkward and blah blah blah. So then they ended up splitting up before Batman Returns, and then they fucking cast her as Selina Kyle in Batman Returns, which I thought was fantastic.
That's
So
funny.
now they have to play love interests and enemies in Batman Returns, and they can't say shit about it. So funny.
And this movie is kind of like low key, some parts like horror movie, honestly. Like the scene when we first see the anchor in the news studio.
It's like flesh is like eating away, and
Reminds me of Smile as well, right? Like
yeah, true.
she's just sitting there, and then all of a sudden she stops and then just starts laughing out loud, and like her co-partner's like, what the fuck's going on? And then she just
Yeah.
falls over and basically dies, and the camera goes into her and just has that huge ass smile.
Yeah.
It's so creepy, man.
Yeah.
But we see Joker's commercial that he has basically about these cosmetics that basically kill people, honestly. I love his commercial. He's like on the beach and has like the two girls, like fake girls there.
Yeah. So good. Look at the tans.
So Vicky ends up getting she thinks she's meeting, I think, Bruce Wayne for dinner at a restaurant. It's a packed house, and then all of a sudden all of these people start fainting and stuff. Or on the table, on her table, is like a thing that says "Put this mask on," and then we hear like the fucking music going, and Joker and his goons are just dancing, having a great time,
Yeah.
painting everything.
It's my favorite part of the movie.
Yeah, it's definitely memorable for
I
sure.
love it so much.
Alicia is there and she's wearing a mask, and Vicky asks like, "What's the mask?" Takes the mask off and has like a burn on her face. And we learn that the flower on his suit has like acid in it, so I think he sprayed her in the face with it, I'm guessing.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
But Batman ends up coming in to save the day. He gets out of there pretty quickly, just zip lines out of there with her. And we get this sick car chase. A few sick car chases in this movie with the Batmobile.
Just like such a low-key Batmobile compared to the future ones. I was watching it this time. I was like, oh man, we have come a long way with the Batmobile.
Yeah, because the Batmobile in the future just blows up, runs over cars,
Oh, it's
fucking like
fucking
a
wild.
monster truck.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it's a tank, man.
Doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah. I
Meanwhile,
do
this bat,
like. Oh, go ahead.
as I say, meanwhile, this Batmobile has like a fucking rope that it like swings out and like uses it to turn a corner, which is like
Yeah.
totally useless. Like, why do you even need that?
Yeah, that's what I was just gonna say. Like, he can't drift around a corner. He's got to use this rope to tie it around a fucking lamp pole.
And then they have a crash in the Batmobile, and they're like under this thing, and like they said, like the most like 90s 80s like thing about like women, I felt like, because like he grabs Vicky and he's like, how much do you weigh? And she's like, oh, about 108 pounds. It's like, what? Like, come on, you could come up with a different number than that. Like, you're just making women like think that they have to be like these really skinny, like, it's ridiculous.
Well, not only that, but he calls her ass out on it after.
Does he?
Yeah, because they go up on the zip line and it can't go all the way up to the top because there's too much weight. So he goes, he's like, "Do you see that thing on my belt?" She's like, "Yeah." He's like, "Grab it and don't let go." So she grabs a hold of it and he jets off and then she shoots the rest of the way up. And then afterwards, he comes and gets her and he's like, "A little more than 108 pounds, don't you think?" And I was like, "Jesus Christ."
Oh, that's funny. But he ends up fighting off the goons that of Jack's. He ends up taking her to the Batcave, which, totally against Batman, man. Like, come on.
Well, it wasn't even him that brought her there, was it? Alfred brings her down,
Oh, he
wasn't it?
brings her. Well, no, because he brings her in the Batmobile to his house,
Oh,
right?
that's true. Yeah. It's later on, actually, that Alfred brings her down. That's right. But,
I was gonna say, I did love the scene when they're in, I think they're in her apartment at this point. And I love when he's trying to explain his like complex life to her. He's trying to tell her that he's Batman, but he just can't. And the door rings and he's like mouthing like, I'm Batman, I'm Batman. Like, we gonna say something?
Oh, nothing important.
So she opens the door and Joker is here. And at first it looked like Bruce was like gonna hide and run away, but he just goes and gets a I don't know, like a serving tray, metal serving tray, which he uses later on. He basically came for Vicky, tells her that Alicia jumped off the top of a building, which I'm sure that he probably pushed her off the building. Then Bruce shows up and I don't know, I don't really get this under get this scene because like Bruce like goes fucking crazy. He's just like holding the thing, like screaming, and then like Jack just ends up shooting him and Vicky thinks he's dead, but he actually had the tray in his suit, which that tray was like the size of my laptop, like
I don't think it's stopping a bullet.
no, and still like aim for the head.
I think what he was doing was giving himself an opportunity to change into Batman. Like, they think he's dead, they leave with Vicky, and they leave him alone, kind of thing. Because they could have kidnapped him too, technically, right? So I think he just wanted to piss him off enough to shoot, thankfully not in the head.
The one thing that really have to shout out the newer trilogy is they flesh out more of the characters in, well, we've only had the one movie so far, but like in this movie, like Commissioner Gordon and Dent, Harvey Dent, are basically like non-existent. Like you have an actor like Billy Dee Williams who was fucking in Star
Huge.
Wars, right? Like the most charismatic person, one of them, sorry, Harrison Ford. Like use him in this kind of slapstick, movie. I don't know. I felt like in The Dark Knight, like Gordon and Dent are one of the most important characters in that movie.
Yeah, for sure. I don't like Gordon in this movie either.
Either. He's
I think,
forgettable.
yeah, I think it was a very poor casting choice. And I just, yeah.
Joker is having a parade. What was the 200 on his float?
I didn't know what that was. I'm not sure. Maybe it was, I don't know. It wouldn't have been that. I was gonna say like maybe 200 sales of Smilex? I don't know. I don't know what it was.
I don't know. But he has all these big floating balloons, and they're spraying like the chemical from it to turn people into, well, to kill them basically. He calls it the Smilex. And this is where we see the Batman jet. So sick. I also love how they brought this jet back for the latest Flash movie that came out a couple years ago. Yeah, he ends up grabbing the balloons in like this like pincer thing, and then like Joker's like, "Where's my he took my balloons?" And then he says to his like sidekick, like, "Why didn't anyone tell me you had that thing?"
Then he shoots Bob.
He's like, "Hey, whatever he's
Bob.
whatever his name, Bob." It's like, "Bob, count my gun." It fucking shoots him.
So the 200 is in reference to the 200th anniversary of Gotham City.
Okay, I was gonna say that, but there's no way that Gotham City is 200 years old.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Makes sense, but I guess it's a comic book, so
Yeah,
can do what it wants.
that's right. I think it's genius too what he did to get everybody in a small area too, with like throwing the money and stuff like that. And like, because it gets everybody around the float, right? And I also read that it was a scene that was filmed but cut out, and I think they should have. After everybody picks up all the money, they look at it and realize that it's all fake money, and it's the Joker's face on the dollar bills instead of.
Yeah, why did they cut that?
I don't know why they cut it.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
Because there was a question, there was, I think it was Vicky. Asked him, like, what's your end goal? Like, what do you want to get out of this? And he's
Yeah.
like, oh, my face on the dollar bill.
Yeah, yeah,
So
yeah.
that would have been a perfect callback to that.
Yeah. And then we get the scene that we talked about briefly at the beginning, how the scene from The Dark Knight, like, I didn't even realize or clue in like the few times I've seen this movie, that basically The Dark Knight recreated this scene. And like, because we see the jet come flying in, whereas in The Dark Knight is the motorcycle, and Batman has he's fucking shooting all his goonies, has like rockets and shit, and then zooms in on to Joker and is shooting like around him, and the Joker pulls up this fucking long ass pistol. It's like 3 feet long. And Joker is saying basically what Joker said in the Dark Knight, like, "Here I am, come get me," or whatever. And except it's Jack doing it like his the goofy, like not so serious, whereas like Heath Ledger, like that scene is all-timer. But shoots the jet. Crashes, you know, same as in The Dark Knight, and like, yeah.
Yeah, that's two scenes that they basically recreated.
Yeah.
Like with the all the mob bosses too,
So Joker ends up taking Vicky up this kind of clock tower, bell tower thing. We don't really get that much like hand-to-hand combat in this movie, like a little bit, but like, I don't know. Not the greatest.
Yeah, no, it's not.
It's kind of more slapstick because, like, in this scene, we see the the guy doing the flippity flip. He's like 10 times, and then just Batman just like I don't know what he does, like just punches him, and it's over. But like, yeah, not so much actiony in this movie compared to like a couple others, but.
Yeah, I say it in my review after that, like the fight scenes are very uncoordinated.
Yeah, so he ends up killing all the goons. I love that Joker's in the background dancing with Vicky on like the outside. He ends up fighting Joker. You know, he's beating the shit out of Joker. Joker's bleeding, has like the fake chattering teeth in his mouth. I thought that was
Yeah,
funny.
I love it.
And he ends up throwing Joker off the tower, but he ends up pulling them down as well. And they're hanging on like the side ledge. And he's just having a good old time, you know, stomping the bricks out and
Jack Nicholson deserved an Oscar for this performance in the end of the
that's
movie.
good, yeah.
He was so good, man. His hair's just flying all over the place. His He's got blood pouring out of his mouth, and he's just like having the fucking time of his life up there. Like, this is like the perfect iteration of Joker. It's so good.
And so meanwhile, his like helicopter of his Goonies is up there. I love the logo of the Joker as well. And reminds me of the Joker from the fighting games. Not Justice League. What's the DC
Injustice.
Injustice? So they will throw a ladder down and he gets on it, and Batman ends up like firing off like a pistol thing that like ties his leg to the gargoyle. And then somehow, I don't know how Joker ends up falling, but he falls to his death basically.
I mean, he's got a gargoyle attached to his foot.
But his the gargoyle didn't
It
cut
breaks
fall.
it, yeah, it breaks off.
Oh, does it break off?
So that he's
Oh,
hanging
okay.
by the helicopter ladder with the gargoyle hanging off of his foot. So he just eventually slips.
But then the ledge breaks where Batman and Vicky are, and they end up falling. But they Batman ends up shooting this thing up. I will say the CGI is horrendous in this movie.
Yeah, it's not
I
good.
mean,
It's
it's
not good.
89, so it kind of let it slide a bit, but like, especially the scene when they're falling and they're hanging there, like it's terrible
Yeah,
CGI.
there's some bad CGI.
But yeah, Joker is alive. He is down with like blood on his face and just has that smile on his eyes are wide open. And it's a sick shot. And then
Did you
have
say
like,
he's alive?
sorry, I meant to say dead. He's dead.
Okay. I was gonna say, do you think he's still
Yeah,
alive?
his eyes are open and he looks alive, but he's not. So they end up having kind of a conference again outside of City Hall, and people ask like, "Oh, how are you gonna? Are we gonna get Batman?" And then they bring out the new bat signal. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, this is the birth of the bat signal.
Yep. Anything else?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, that's the way the can't think of what they're called. What's his little Batman
The Batarang.
batarangs fly.
There you go.
Even though I don't think there was any batarangs in this movie, but I
I don't
think
know if
that's the
there was or
sequel, I
not.
think. But
Yeah, the gadgets in this one were a little low tech. Low tech for sure.
But yeah.
Yeah. His rappel has a fucking weight limit on it.
Yeah.
Grappling hook. All right, how did you rate this movie?
So I actually dropped my score in this movie.
I
So
did too.
when I watched it in August or September, whatever last year, I gave it a 4. I dropped it to 3.5, which still isn't a bad rating, but I don't know, I just it's not as nostalgic as Batman Returns to me. I felt like we've discussed it. I feel like Michael Keaton finally embraces the role, I feel like, and Tim Burton kind of knew, has an idea of what he's doing with the world in the sequel. Obviously, Jack Nicholson, I think, is the best part of this movie. The set pieces and set design and the feel of the movie is just classic Tim Burton, and they'll never get old and love it. I didn't really like any of the other actors. Like, I felt like the chemistry with let me blank on her name, but it's like Vicky and Bruce. I thought the actress, I just don't think she was right for this role, honestly.
She screamed too much.
Yeah, fair enough, yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely a movie I'll keep watching, but yeah, so 3.5 out of 5.
All right. I dropped my score too,
Okay.
but I dropped mine from a 4.5 to a 4.
Okay.
I said this movie and Batman Returns were staples of my childhood. I remember watching the shit out of our VHS, and they're the greatest movies ever made. On this watch, and I brought up the 4K. I said it may have honestly been because I watched it in 4K. It was a lot easier to pick apart some of the flaws with some pretty lackluster CGI, and they made some weird choices. Like, with the gadgets and shit, like I get it. This was the first live action Batman movie in a long time. Like our last ones were with Adam West. So it had been a long time. So like I get it. Like there's gonna be some flaws with the gadgets and shit like that. It was just, I don't know. I just feel like they made some weird choices. I agree with you. I think Nicholson was the best casting choice at that time for Joker, and he remained the best Joker until Ledger took the crown from him, in my personal opinion. But like regardless of that, he was still fantastic in this role. And one thing we need to talk about, the score in this movie, man. This movie had fucking wicked music, dude. Like right
It
from
does.
the fucking opening credit sequence was unbelievable score. I love that theme music for this movie. And then we had Prince all throughout it. It was just so good, man. It was awesome. Such a good score. So, yeah, I gave it a 4 out of 5 on this watch.
And I do think this movie is a tad bit too long, I think.
Yeah, I could give it. Yeah.
But anyway, it's kind of a nitpick, but
It could be like, it's only 2 hours and like 6 minutes or whatever, which is fine, but I wish they had a little more substance to it in certain parts. Anywho. All right, you guys know our scores. We'll head on over to Rotten Tomatoes and see what they scored it. So the critics' consensus, an eerie, haunting spectacle. Batman succeeds as dark entertainment, even if Jack Nicholson's Joker too often overshadows the title character. So, based on that, what do you think the critics scored it?
I'll say 84.
Oh, you nailed the audience score.
Okay.
The critic score was a 76.
Okay.
That's on 140 reviews. The audience was an 84 on 250,000 ratings and an average score of 4 out of 5.
All right.
What about Letterboxd?
Letterboxd has a 3.6 out of 5. We already mentioned our scores. Our buddy Anthony gave it a 4 out of 5. Our buddy Alan gave it a 3 out of 5. Jess from HMC gave it a 4 out of 5. And our buddy Nathan gave it a 5 out of 5. Buddy Josh from HMC gave it a 4 out of 5. I think that's it.
Cool. All right. Well, in that case, it's time for our
cunning stunts.
How, sorry, did you rate the stunt?
I'll give the stunts in this movie a 3 out of 10.
Okay.
Like we said, the hand-to-hand combat wasn't that great, but I did love, the Batman gliding or the car chase is really sick, but the hand-to-hand combat and stuff like that was kind of underwhelming. So I'll give it a 3 out of 10. And stunt I would like to try. I'll just go with driving the Batmobile around. See if I can pull off that turn without using a silly rope.
All right. What was your favorite stunt you said?
The Batmobile car chase, and
Okay.
then, well, the same for both of them, pretty much.
All right. My rating, I give it a 4 out of 10. I said the fighting was a bit clunky and uncoordinated, but I think Keaton did a good enough job considering he was never really an action star and he was in a big ass rubber suit. So yeah, I don't know. It definitely wasn't great. My favorite stunt, I said the end sequence with Joker, Batman, and Vicky on the side of the building. Just think it was really well shot. It was a very enjoyable scene. And sometime I would want to try, I said what you said. Just fucking driving the Batmobile, man. I think that's every geek's dream. Just
Exactly.
drive a fucking Batmobile, man. I wish I was rich and I could own one of them. All right. It's your turn to pick a movie, sir.
All righty. Well, we both know how much we love our early 2000s action movies. They're usually a good time.
They are.
And we're going to talk about a action star we haven't talked about yet.
Okay.
So we'll be doing The Transporter.
Oh, Mr. Statham.
Yes, sir.
All right. I'm down with that. It's been a minute since I watched this movie.
Yeah, me too.
Sweet. I'm down for that.
Sick.
All right. In the meantime, you guys can catch us at Podcast on Fury Road on Instagram. Shoot us a DM if you want to chat, if you want to suggest a movie, if you have any thoughts on any episodes, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
Thank you for listening to Batman.
And we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Bye.